broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for May 25th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, America's got a lot of problems, but you know what? We're preaching positive viewpoints for the greatest country on the face of the earth, because even with our problems, we've still got more freedom. We've still had more freedom for more people in the history of the world than any other, bar none. So you know what? We've lost a lot of freedoms due to the immorality of the people. I get it. I agree. But you know what? I'm not going to down America. I'm going to do my best to focus on the greatness that America is because we obey God's laws, and the greatness America is because we have the blueprint for liberty. We have checks and balances, and most importantly, we have the way to restoration. I don't think any other country's ever had such blessings. And so you know what? We got problems. I get it. But we're going to focus on not only the good, but where we can make a difference and be involved in solutions. And that's one of the critical components. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Can I make it more clear? We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the earth, and our efforts are to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the media and our lives in the traditions of our founding fathers. Okay, incredibly simple stuff. We believe the supreme law of the land is the rule of law. We believe the checks and balances are critical. And we believe there's no way to restore the republic without good, honest Americans getting involved every day in demanding and standing for the proper role of limited, peaceful government. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And just imagine, for me saying that, they call me a racist and a hater and an anti-government guy. I mean, they're just nuts. They're crazy. Because we stand for, well, look, I'm against rogue government, for sure. But I do stand for the greatest government on the face of the earth if it's in its defensive, proper, limited constitutional role. Then I'm as supportive as anybody can get. Welcome to the broadcast. Hey, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union with us, NTU.org. Welcome back, sir.
Great to be here.
Any reservations of anything I've said?
Absolutely not.
All right, just making sure, because people tell you that I'm a racist and that I'm anti-government. Pete, they're crazy.
Well, unfortunately, that's the level to which our discourse has sunk, and we need to raise it.
Amen to that, and we're doing just that. By the way, Donald rolled out a budget. By the way, the accounting budget office or congressional budget office rolled out their view of the, quote, Obamacare or whatever you want to call it, 2.0, Trump care, Paul Ryan care. I don't know what you call it, but whatever that thing is, the latest Republican supposed repeal, but it's not a repeal at all. So there's a lot to talk about financially. Donald released his tax budget details. So we got a lot to talk about. Where would you like to start, Pete? We got to break this down for folks, right?
Wow. Yeah. How about we start with the president's budget, which,
please,
of course,
sure,
is already getting a great deal of negative press. That was to be expected, but also a lot of, frankly, mistaken assumptions about what's happening here. This is certainly not an ideal budget in many respects. People need to realize that the big entitlement programs of Social Security and Medicare are largely unaddressed in this budget, and we have to start thinking very hard about how we can restructure these programs over the long run. All the Trump budget really talks about in those two programs is the disability program, with some reforms there and improper payments, a little less spending, but the retirement portion of Social Security remains basically a topic that is silent in this budget. That's a shame, and that's a problem, because beginning in Donald Trump's term, this first term, the year 2020, Social Security's so-called trust fund, which was always somewhat of a fiction by politicians, but even if we accept that fiction and its accounting, that begins to hemorrhage money. It will begin devouring its own assets in the year 2020. That is just 3 years away, and we have no discussion of what we are going to do about that program solvency.
Where do we go from here then with that in mind? I mean, what it's going to be is a great start, but it's almost too late, not enough, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, of all people, Bill Clinton and Ross Perot, back in the 1992 presidential campaign, and to a lesser degree, George H.W. Bush, were saying, what are we going to do about the impending crisis of Social Security and Medicare? They won't be able to fund themselves over the long term. Think about that for just a moment. That's 25 years ago. Politicians were saying, well, we better get around to doing something soon. Well, if soon is 25 years in Washington, D.C., that is too little too late. And so,
and here's the sad part. This is Donald's starting point. In other words, this is the first shot across the bow, if you will. And what will happen, though, is in the normal negotiations, that's going to be pared back a ton already. So not only is it not enough to start, but it's going to get butchered, isn't it?
Well, probably, because members of the president's own party have been complaining that this budget is either a non-starter or dead on arrival. Well, that's to be expected somewhat. Presidential budgets, to be brutally honest, have not been major points of discussion for the better part of 20 years now. Really, Ronald Reagan's budgets in his first term were the only ones since in 25, 30 years.
But if the House really is more conservative, they could come back and say, you know, we appreciate that, Donald. We control the purse strings. We're going to up your ante. In other words, you could take it almost like a, I don't want to say a gambling event, but you could come back and say, you know what, Donald, you're great, but you're not enough. Let's increase this, forcing the Senate to deal with a completely different dynamic if they chose.
Yeah, they could say it's a challenge. And unfortunately, we're not hearing enough of that right now. And there are plenty of good points in the president's budget, especially in the so-called discretionary side of the budget, the part that Congress appropriates every year, the non-entitlement programs. A lot of items, 66 of them, in fact, that would be dramatically cut back, things that conservatives have said for years are pointless, ineffective programs. Corporate welfare would be dramatically pared back. Agricultural subsidies that really just benefit big businesses would be cut back. The Economic Development Administration, which is really just a piggy bank for well-connected lobbyists to get money for their own businesses. I mean, those things would go away under the Trump budget. Those are things we would support and have supported for quite a long time. Haven't gone anywhere in Congress, but it's a good gauntlet to throw down.
Now, I support that. I agree that we got to pare that stuff back. But all he's done really, though, is decreased a lot of those areas, which we would agree with. But then he's put it into to war funding, if you will. I don't have a better way than to say to fund the military-industrial complex. That's of great concern. I get wanting to defend America. I get a little bit concerned, though, when we give, what, $500 billion to the Saudis? When we start to really gallivant around the globe and increase kind of the war mentality. Your thoughts?
Well, this is basically a dollar-for-dollar swap in the so-called discretionary category. It certainly was outlined that way in the so-called skinny budget, the fact that they would take about $57 billion or so in domestic discretionary spending, put it into so-called defense spending, some of it for probably military operations abroad, some at home, and that kind of leaves us even. That's I guess, one way to look at fiscal responsibility. If you want an increase one place, you got to fund a decrease elsewhere. But that doesn't necessarily get us to actual deficit reduction. And here's the real bottom line. The budget will be, under President Trump's proposal, about $4 trillion in the next fiscal year. In another seven fiscal years, it'll be about $5 trillion. It is still going up, despite all of the cacophony of voices saying this is doomsday, or Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, saying this is going to kill people. Well, unfortunately, the budget is still going to rise.
So if the budget is still going to rise, what if I write a headline that says this? Trump's budget, fuzzy math by the numbers. I mean, isn't that
well,
really it?
Some people have called it fuzzy math.
Yeah, but if we're if Donald's saying it's going down, if the mainstream press, everybody else is telling you, well, it saves all this money or does all this or does all that, and it really goes up, though, then it's fuzzy math to say the least.
Well, And yes, I mean, despite a number of good program reductions and reforms, we are still looking at an upward trajectory for federal spending. And even Medicaid, which, of course, liberal forces are complaining Trump would decimate. Okay, it's going to be $400 billion of spending next year, and in 2021, $460. In 2027, a decade from now, $524 billion, still going up.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Liberty Roundtable Live, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. They'll partner with you locally to reduce taxes in your area. NTU.org to learn more. Sam Curtin, Pete in seconds. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org on your radio. So we're talking about this budget. The bottom line is it's fuzzy math, folks. Everybody tells you it's going down, or they're cutting this, they're cutting that. I'm not saying certain areas don't have some cuts in it, but the fact is the budget goes up, 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 and away, and unless we get a handle on that and go the right direction at some point, it's never going to get better. And we're really taking money from Peter to Rob Paul or whatever, you're taking money from whatever you want to say. And that's the problem here, is that we're playing games with numbers. We're decreasing some things, we're increasing others, but the bottom line is the budget goes up, and it's not really a decrease at all, Pete.
Yeah, actually, I mean, let's give the president some credit here. What this budget proposes to do is to control federal spending growth, mind you, at 3% a year. That would be substantially lower than what it's forecast to grow at. Tax receipts would increase by a faster rate under this budget, 5% annually, because largely the tax reform plan they're proposing and the regulatory relief they're proposing would create more economic growth. A growing economy produces more receipts for the government, and there the budget is supposed to balance over time. Now, again, some say these economic growth estimates are too rosy. I happen to think that with a good solid tax and regulatory reform in place, we could grow at least a percentage point, probably more every year than what we have now. So I think the naysayers are wrong about that. Again, though, Congress has to be on board. They've got to get moving with a tax reform plan between Congress and the administration that can get signed into law and get working quickly.
Kurt, you want to weigh in on this? I mean, I agree with Pete. You got to give Donald some credit, but at the same time, I don't want to overlook good when it's there. It's better than the alternative, but I don't think it'll get the job done. I don't think it'll return America to financial stability in any way.
Well, and I appreciate having Pete Sepp, the president of the National Taxpayers Union. I mean, we knew him when he was just a – well, he wasn't the president. He was the press guy, it's nice to have him to give us some input because, you see, this is just a few of the headlines about this whole budget thing. These are a couple of New York Times ones. Trump budget takes broad aim at undocumented immigrants. Then the next one, Trump's budget, the math is phony, but the cruelty isn't. Then you've got Bloomberg with Trump's budget bites deeply into programs benefiting his voters. CNN Money says not even the White House knows how much it's cutting Medicaid.
Hey, I'd like to know really quick, Pete Sepp, are those fake news headlines for the mainstream press?
They contain a lot of falsehoods and distortions. I will simply say that. Yes, some individual programs are being targeted for elimination. Some of those programs have constituencies that will be very upset about it. Overall, again, though, the numbers, the baseline of the budget shows spending is still going to increase by 3% a year, roughly. Receipts are going to increase by about 5% a year. That's the big bottom line of this budget, whatever else you want to argue about it.
Say that one more time. I just want to make this so clear.
Federal spending overall under Donald Trump's budget, if it were enacted in its entirety, would still increase about 3% every year, and receipts would increase about 5% every year.
In other words, there's no cuts about it, ladies and gentlemen. We can play games with certain little line items or whatever, but there are no cuts. It's an increase of dollars. Flat out, we'll get more debt.
But if receipts increase 5 and spending increases 3, then that means you're at least a positive 2, right?
What it means is stealing more of my money to gain a positive 2, though, Kurt.
It does.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kurt, and then Pete.
Kurt.
If you consider the money going into the government as
out of my
robbing
wallet.
Then I guess you're right. But part of it can be things like because of the increased economic activity with, for example, people having a job instead of waiting for a government check. To me, that's one of the key things here to look at.
Yeah, I agree with your point. And if another guy gets a job and some of that increase takes money out of his wallet, then I can say, thank the Lord, it's not my wallet, it's his, not mine. But the reality is government only gets money from the people, period. Now, if we want to say that they'll change tariffs so that we can get money from, take less money out of the, American taxpayer and more money out of tariffs at the border to make level playing fields in an open, market scenario where you have free market enterprise or free enterprise going on, I'll accept some of that. But does the budget point to what Kurt's saying, Kurt, where the money's going to come from at all for the difference?
Well, I think that the Trump budget is assuming that a growing economy from tax reform is going to be responsible for that additional revenue. I mean, they're not saying let's raise tax rates. They're saying let's grow the number of taxpayers. I think that is a key difference, and it's a lot more positive of a message than we would have heard from a President Clinton, who would be increasing tax rates at the same time.
And I agree with that, except for so far, at least, I haven't seen any tax reform really come to the table for stability or growth or likelihood of passage or anything else.
Yeah, the Yeah, the administration, of course, did put out a one-page outline of a tax reform plan. The House has their blueprint that has not been translated into legislation, of course. And that's been a frustration amongst many conservatives who are trying to work with lawmakers on Capitol Hill, is we got to get a bill going. I know they're working on it. Time, though, is of the essence.
And I'm willing to give credit if credit really materializes, but so far I just don't see any pay dirt. Even Obamacare, we were going to get rid of that. Now that's all mogged down, not going to happen. The headlines from the CBO about Obamacare, you know, that's probably going to go back to the drawing table. Now the Koch brothers, I should say, launch campaign to pass President Trump's tax cuts. That's great. But again, I don't see really pay dirt or delivery on this stuff. And I think to assume this in your budget when you don't have it done may be a false starter, too. Am I just too negative?
Well, there are a lot of bets being placed on the repeal and replace of Obamacare getting done and done soon. I think that the outlook is better than it was in March, of course. But there are hurdles to overcome. This CBO report, which has flaws of its own, by the way, is only the latest obstruction to it.
Have you guys done something to break down the tax cuts of Trump to see if it measures up to what they're talking about? And have you broke down the Affordable Care Act, or they call it repeal, but I say it's replacement. It's not repeal at all. Of Obamacare, have you broken down those things? How does all that mix into the budget, if you will?
Well, based on the details we have of the Trump tax reform plan, and again, that's only a one-page outline, there is plenty of economic growth potential there by streamlining the number of tax brackets, keeping the tax rates, especially for the middle class, a good 5-7 points lower than what they might be right now, keeping the a couple of deductions in place with the income tax, but sweeping away most of the rest. Most importantly, in my opinion, is making the tax filing process much simpler, much more transparent. People might say, why in the world do I think that? Because a transparent system is one that politicians have a harder time messing around with. If we can all get to a point where we understand just the basic mechanics of the tax system, we understand, well, we can write off these couple of things. Beyond that, we report our income, we pay roughly this rate, my neighbor next door is doing the same thing, and I don't want politicians to do anything to interfere with that. We'll be in a much better place in terms of a tax and political system. Much better.
So from Pete's point, Kurt, we got cautious optimism going on, and there's hope, but you know, we still have a lot to work through to get there, and your point's well taken. If we can grow the economy, if we can bring money in from the outside with more fair trade deals, it could be a scenario where we don't take more out of the taxpayer. And I hope that's true.
Yeah, I would simply say, hey, every one of those individuals that sits there and watches their post office box for a government check, I would just be so grateful if every one of them, you know, had a job and could feel useful and didn't wait for a government check. And sure, some of their money got sent to the government, but I would hope it would be a whole lot less than now.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Three Pakistani brothers who handled information technology for several Democratic lawmakers were banned from congressional computer networks by Capitol Hill police several months ago. The brothers are suspected of stealing equipment from members' offices and for accessing congressional computers without permission. Now five IT aides say that members of Congress who had hired the brothers are displaying an inexplicable intense loyalty toward the suspects who police say have been victimizing them. California Democrats are pushing single-payer health care in that state. The cost of the system would be $400 billion. The cost of the health care plan would be more than twice the current state budget. All residents in California would be covered, including illegals. There would be no insurance deductibles or co-pays. California politicians would have to raise taxes and find other sources of revenue. Californians already have the sixth highest tax burden in the country. Colorado, New York, and Vermont all floated single-payer systems. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Pete Sepp on your radio, NTU.org. Check it out today and get involved in the greatest, in my opinion. There's only a couple of unions I like. The marital union God set up, that's fantastic. The more perfect union, the freest country on the face of the earth, and the National Taxpayers Union. You don't even get roped in by forced dues or anything else. It's just phenomenal. Great free enterprise system available for you, breaking down the details of tax reform and solutions, partnering with Americans to make a difference in lower taxes everywhere we go. NTU.org. Pete Sepp, the president, on your radio now. So, Pete, you got this budget, which is of concern that increases. Kurt's right that there may be a way to increase it without stealing more from my wallet. I pray that's true. And then you got the, you know, Obamacare replacement. They call it repeal, but that's a lie, too. It's fake news. It's a replacement plan in place. They've got also the tax reform plan or tax cut plans of Donald Trump all in the mix. It's so complicated. I don't even know that the American people can understand it. How do we get our arms around what makes sense and support what's right and reject what's wrong, sir? Any idea?
Well, let's focus on what I think the House, Senate, and the White House all have in common on tax reform. When you look at most of the plans that have been advanced by the tax writing committees and the one-pager from the administration, a couple of things are clear. All of them want to get rid of the death tax, the so-called federal estate and inheritance tax. All of them want to reduce the business tax rate to 20% or even 15%. All of them want to reduce the number of brackets on individuals and the rates across the board. All of them want to get rid of the alternative minimum tax, that parallel tax system that gets you twice if you don't pay taxes the first time around. All of them want to do something about making sure our companies aren't punished for doing business abroad with a double tax penalty. So if we start there and say this is all we have in common, which is a lot, then I think we can understand that we're all moving in a similar direction. We just need to tighten the ship a little bit and make sure the course is better defined.
All right, the Trump budget takes broad aim at illegals. Kurt?
Well, you know, at least it's pretty, that's a New York Times headline. And it's pretty amazing that illegals, you know, these are...
Well, hold on. They said at undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, I know. But these are people that have broken the law. And so what they're saying is we're going to quit giving them some special handouts. I mean, it's, if we can't even consider that, what can we do, Pete?
Well, there, it is, of course, an emotionally charged question. There's all kinds of attempts to study whether the fiscal implications of illegal immigration are a major negative for the federal government, states and localities. There are some who say, well, even though they may not be paying federal income taxes, even if they are working in this country, they're probably having payroll taxes deducted. That keeps Social Security from going broke faster than it already is. I don't know about all of the evidence there and whether it's legitimate, whether that's a concern at the state and local level where schools and other public service agencies are having a hard time keeping up. So
here's my take. You know, here's my take, Pete. Tell me what you think of this. You know what? I'm not here to attack any person. I get that people want to seek out freedom, jobs, safety, stability for their families, and I don't blame people for coming. The reality is we shouldn't attack it as illegal, or I'm sorry, as individuals, as racists or haters or isolationists. We should ignore all those words and simply say this: illegal is illegal and not acceptable. Now, if there's a problem with the way we deal with immigration in America, let's change the law. Let's shut down the illegal door. Why? Because it's illegal. And let's open the appropriate way that people can seek for a better life. And let's get rid of the carrot, the handouts, the socialism. Because that's never any good. It brings people for the wrong reasons. It fleeces the taxpayer. There's no value in it. But let's find a way that people can have a sponsor. People can come to America with a framework of private sector support. Let's make sure that employers, the United States government, the American people, and the illegal are aligned in purpose, which is let's make a better America. Let's invite people to the land of the free. That's what Lady Liberty is all about. But let's do it in a legal way. And let's set aside all these buzzwords that divide everybody. And let's bring people together and find a way to make legal, appropriate immigration make sense and bring people together for the sacred cause of liberty and let the American dream sing. And you're going to do that not by socialism, not by handouts, not by divisions, but putting together an appropriate plan to slam that illegal door, but literally make it possible for the right people to come for the right reasons at the right times in a way that makes sense, that can be assimilated into the freest country in the history of the world. That's what was done in the past, and we can do it again, Pete. Yeah, what do you think about all that?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Why extend right away the biggest benefit programs of the federal government's money machine to those who want to come here and say, this is your American dream? I mean, that's precisely the wrong thing to do.
And I mean, I think we ought to set aside all these buzzwords that divide, you know, undocumented versus illegal, and, you know, Sam's evil, he doesn't want him to come. And, you know, look, set aside all that, okay? Set our personal opinions aside. It's appropriate to have a mechanism for immigration that promotes legality and the right way of doing things. I think a lot of it may be problems with immigrants crossing the border, but 90% is our fault based on our policies, right?
Well, we do offer a very generous package for anyone who wants to come here and not necessarily take up a job right away. Meanwhile, there are those trying to come through the door legally through things like the H-1B visa program, needed talent to help our economy grow, and there aren't enough of those. So that's...
And we need to make a way to where there is, for crying out loud. I mean, come on, people. This is crazy. All right, Kurt, do you have more on this piece? This is important to understand because they just want to attack Donald at being anti-everybody. I think it's a matter of appropriately setting up our policy to make common sense. Kurt?
I, you know, at least to me, all the New York Times is doing is being the, you know, opposition party. And, you know, I mean, they said they were going to quit lying to us a while back, and I still don't think they've quit.
Yeah, you know. Pretty soon Kirk Crosby's going to be singing that song, Lips Are Moving, So You Lie, Lie, Lie. All right. Now, there's an interesting story I want to bounce off Pete Sepp as well. And that's this. There's a new poll out. And the poll says voters agree with Donald Trump that the mainstream media publishes fake news. Peter Hassan writes the piece for the Daily Caller. And almost two-thirds of Americans, literally 65%, say the mainstream press publishes a lot of fake news. That's according to a Harvard-Harris poll that was released to The Hill. And I can get into the details of which parties and the percentages in a second, but what do you think of that? Basically, most people believe, two-thirds already, believe the mainstream press is the peddler of fake news. Pete?
Yeah, not a surprise at all, actually, when you think about the mistrust that the American people have of the journalistic profession in general. I mean, they do rank higher than politicians and used car salesmen, but still not ranking as high on the trust scale as they used to. And so, naturally, poll results like these are going to come out reflecting people saying, I don't think that the media is telling the story to us straight. That's why I get it from other sources.
And then the media is attacking Donald, or attacking really the people in this case over this idea, saying, oh, no, we tell the truth. Well, Republicans and Democrats alike believe there's plenty of fake news. The poll found that 80% of Republicans, 60% of independents, and 53% of Democrats say the media has a serious fake news problem. Now, that's in every category, that's over 50%.
That's incredible. I mean, that goes to, and again, that goes to the root of a societal mistrust of what was supposed to be an institution able to convey the truth, have discussions from a base of truth, and clearly that institution is failing.
These jokers in the mainstream press, though, instead of acknowledging that fact and adjusting things to try to build credibility, to reestablish trust, they just run around and attack the voter for this and say the voter's clueless, the voter doesn't know, and everybody else is fake news, but not us. And like the New York Times, after Donald Trump won, they came out and said, we're going to quit lying to you. And they've been lying ever since. It's crazy.
Well, and of course, the Washington Post here has adopted a new slogan right on its front page, right under the masthead, the name Washington Post, Democracy Dies in Darkness.
We don't have a democracy, sir. They lie right there.
Yes.
Don't we have a republic, Pete Sepp?
That's right.
So if they say democracy dies, what country are they talking about?
Yeah, it makes you...
Not ours. See, they lie right out of the gate, and we can prove it on so many fronts. It's amazing. They call them undocumented immigrants. They're illegals. They're just wordsmithing it to make it not sound so hostile. But the truth is the truth, folks. Pete Sepp in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I got a very strange story for you talking about the media peddling fake news. Let me give you an example of this. This is a very weird story. Listen carefully. Jared Kushner, you know, the son-in-law of the Donald, has a good personal friend by the name of Ken Kurson. K-U-R-S-O-N. And Ken Kurson steps down as the editor of The Observer, writes Michael Grinbaum. So you got this personal friend of Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, stepping down from editor of The Observer. Now, The Observer's the paper that Jared Kushner used to own, right? In New York.
He doesn't own it anymore? He sold it?
I don't know. I think he sold it, but I don't know that.
Okay.
All right, but they say in a move rich with political intrigue, Mr. Kurson said that he would begin a new job next week as a senior managing director at Tineo Strategies. That's a division of a corporate advisory firm ran by allies of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Bottom line is they got Clinton Foundation donors involved in this. Mr. Kurson is, involved big time with his new job. Now, everybody tells me, hey, the divide between the Donald and the Clintons is so big now, it's amazing. But now the Donald's son-in-law gets picked up by the Clinton allies organization in the revolving door.
The son-in-law or the friend of the son-in-law?
Well, it's hard to say. Because the son-in-law works for the Donald, but the friend of the son-in-law works now for the Clintons, or the Clinton-tied friends. In other words, it's all this big old love fest of friends, Kurt. So it's not really the Clintons, and it's not really Donald at all, and it's not really Jared at all, right? But they say
politics,
if you want to get a job, all you got to do is have friends in the business. What do you say to that, Pete? Very strange, huh?
Happens a lot in this town, very much. I mean, there is a... When people say the D.C. establishment, they really aren't kidding. There is a core that is almost utterly unaffected by ideology, by changes in leadership, by elections, virtually anything. There is a core of lobbying interest here in favor of the status quo, and that means a tax system that's riddled with all kinds of ways to penalize enemies, treat friends favorably, a budget that keeps useless programs going on and on and on, a regulatory structure that again can be used to manipulate marketplaces in favor of or against certain people depending on who they hire for their advocates. So it's not surprising.
It's not surprising, but when you run around telling everybody you're going to drain the swamp and all the media insiders are thugs and the revolving door's got to go and that's your whole campaign and then this happens, you got to go, I guess The swamp's not draining so fast, is it?
Yeah, it is a difficult task, and I know that certain things have been shaken up, especially in the way the White House runs, some parts of the federal bureaucracy. I know that, for example, the Federal Trade Commission is dramatically reshaping the way it operates under an acting commissioner named Maureen Olhausen. She took President Trump's executive order about looking for opportunities to reduce red tape very seriously. She was there on day one because she was already a commissioner, and she became the acting director. That was an important thing that we all talked about earlier this year, the necessity to get your people into the bureaucracy early to carry out reform. That happened at the Federal Trade Commission. Now they're actually doing basic things like economic cost-benefit analysis before they do more rulemakings. That ought to be a standard throughout the federal government.
No question, and good on him for doing it, but I'm afraid Donald's neck deep into the swamp, and the gators are after him, aren't they?
Well, the gators
swimming. But Sam, had you heard this story that Pete just said?
No.
Did you know about this?
That's why we
have
Pete on all the time.
I'd never heard about this. You know, Pete...
why is the mainstream press going to tell you that? That would be accountability and honesty and integrity and morality all wrapped into the Donald. They can't
and
have
it would,
that.
Yeah, it would make him look good and make, imagine if we had a copycat of this going on.
Imagine if they roll it out, as Pete said, government-wide, Kurt.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, there's a long entry on our blog about this. But
what's the lady's name? Pete, what's the lady's name?
Maureen Olhausen. And if people visit our website at ntu.org, they can do a search on the term, the acronym FTC for Federal Trade Commission, and it'll come up.
We need more of it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. That's great news. Now, by the way, we had an update on Sean Hannity. There was conflicting stories yesterday. Sean said, hey, my show might be ending at Fox. And then it's like, hey, he'll quit talking about this scandal, about the Mr. Rich case. And then now we hear that Fox chimed in, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and this is a Variety news piece, but it says Fox News says Sean Hannity will return to the show. Says, this idea that he's gone on vacation, kind of like Bill O'Reilly did. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, apparently.
And so
he'll be going there, but he did say this. He says, like the rest of the country, Sean Hannity is taking a vacation for Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. That's what the Century 21 or the 21st
Century
Fox.
Well, we hope Sean comes back, but we know the advertisers have been attacked big time over Sean Hannity's discussion of the Seth Rich case as well, Pete. Do you think of that?
Well, a lot of interesting information can come out of people who simply say in a public setting, I wonder. Now, you have to be very careful not to repeat lies, spread rumors, say things that are demonstrably false. But saying, I wonder, is often leading to a trail and a destination that many people need to know about.
And when they say, allegations are, and this stuff doesn't make sense, and we're working on connecting the dots, and we got to find out about this, and why didn't they look into that? Those are fair and honest, open, in my opinion, First Amendment-based questions. The problem is Sean's getting relentlessly attacked, as he's the peddler of fake news or dishonest conspiracy theory. But what's fascinating is the D.C. police say they have a theory that he was a victim of a botched robbery. But theirs is only a theory, too. So why is Sean's conspiracy theory, theirs is, quote, theory fact? How does that all work? The bottom line is we need to be open-minded enough to find out the truth.
Well, there are journalistic standards here that Fox is trying to follow. I get that and respect it. Maybe Sean Hannity did jump the gun on this, and it's important that we get to what's actually happening here, because there are important questions for the way our society works, the way our government works.
Transparency ought to take the center stage, that's for sure. All right, hey, Kurt, I guess your favorite senator's in the news, huh? I saw this.
Well, you mean Orrin Hatch is what you're talking about?
It's not Kurt's favorite senator, folks.
Anyway. He's one of my two favorite senators from Utah. But anyway, in his case, he has said that maybe he's going to step aside. And lo and behold, Romney says he's a little bit interested in
Romney and Mr. Jason Chapin might have to battle over that one, okay?
I think Chaffetz will bide his time. He might go for governor, you know, but he's going to get some big bucks at Fox pretty soon.
Well, how do we help the considering retiring to for sure retiring? How do we help that along is all I'm asking. All right. Yeah. Anyway, we thought we'd bring that to your attention. Pete, what do you think?
Well, I've actually known Senator Hatch for quite a while, worked with him on things like the balanced budget amendment and tax reform. Great mind. Important influencer on the process. What his political career has in store for him, I don't know. But he's here, and he's in a very powerful position to influence tax reform.
Well, all I can tell you is he hasn't really been the constitutional guy I would hope for. But, you know, there you have it. Now, this is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. This is hot news. You ready? Kurt, for some hot news?
All right.
Pete, can you handle it? Hot news, buddy.
I'll try.
All right. There's the newest, hottest chili pepper in the world. It's called Dragon's Breath.
That's hot.
And it's so hot, you don't dare eat this sucker. They say it's 2.48 million on the Scoville scale. That's well ahead of the 2.2 million set by the Carolina Reaper, Kurt. When the Carolina Reaper pepper came out, we covered that sucker. Now they got this new one, and it's basically called the Dragon's Breath pepper. So I'm telling you right now, that thing, they say if you eat it, it'll kill you. It's just too fetching hot. Now, I'm not even going to try the thing, but I just thought we'd wrap up with some hot news, Pete.
Well, I'll know to avoid that if it ever shows up at a grocery store.
Yeah, they're like, hey, would you like dragon's breath in your salad? Say, uh-uh. No deal.
I'll say no way, and I'll hold the restaurant liable if I find it.
And I wouldn't even want to give this to our congressmen and senators. I wouldn't really want them to even eat that because it'd be horrible for them. But I bring it all up to say this. The more we stand for the truth, the hotter it gets. And the more we really want true tax reform and true reduction in budgets, the more it seems like the insiders attack us and relentlessly, unfairly articulate who we are and what we do, Pete.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you have to be willing to take that heat. The most successful taxpayer activists in our history, like Howard Jarvis out in California, Doug Bruce out in Colorado, lots of folks have had to endure this. They put up with it, and they succeed, and people are better off for it.
All right, they're putting Carolina Reaper-type heat on us, ladies and gentlemen. They're putting Dragon's Breath-type heat on us. But you know what? We can stand the heat. We, the American people, can restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. We're convinced. It's all up to us. Our greater numbers shall succeed. The power of one becomes two, then the few, then the many. And before you know it, we have changed this positive and can make America great again. We're doing our best to make that a reality, and we're thankful for your help. Pete Sepp, give out your website, sir.
NTU, our initials for National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org.
Thank you, sir. Godspeed.
Thank you.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job, Pete Sepp, LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.